All right. Thank you, the curse ups. We appreciate that so very much. And take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to look at the first 11 verses tonight of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As we look at the nasty, the needed, and the non-negotiable. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto were ye not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now shall we pray. Father, I pray that you would help us as we preach your word again. I pray that it'll be thy Holy Spirit that communes with each heart through this your preached word. I pray that you'd just hide me behind the cross, exalt the word of God, that it may accomplish exactly that for which you please, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This definitely tonight is a Bible sermon. And I say that so a husband or wife doesn't come up to me afterwards and says, did my spouse talk to you? Also, I don't want anybody to come up and ask me, did you read my Facebook this week? I'm not even on Facebook, okay? And so if you look up for a Facebook account for Andy Bloom or John Bloom or whatever it is, you won't find it. I'm not even John Smith in there, okay? So you're just not going to find it. Don't ask, who came to you about this? Be quite honest with you, and most of you already know this, but usually on the 30 or 31st of the month, I have all my sermons prepared for the next month. And so they're usually about a month ahead, just so that when those times come up, people aren't saying, well, he did that because he doesn't like me. No. This comes through prayer and spending time with the Lord. In the day we live, we are as those churches of Asia, spoken in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Now, let me just say this about the seven churches of Asia in Revelation 2 and 3. God went through all seven churches in those two chapters and listed good things and bad things about those churches. They were prevalent then. And some people like to say, well, this was true at this point, and then this was true in a different age, this was true. No, it's not like all those things were true in every age. God was preparing us for the church age. And that was after about the second or third generation. AD 96, Revelation was written, so probably about at least the third generation of the church now has been active. And so they're preparing us, God is preparing us for what to look for and to watch out for, as well as the good things to do. So keep that in mind when you look at that. I want us to look at Sardis here for just a few moments. He says, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. I can remember reading books and hearing teachers when they would talk about Sardis and thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. They'd say that is showing cold, dead, formal church and doctrine. Yet, that's not the meaning of the word there. It's not the idea that's behind the word. It doesn't refer to doctrine. It doesn't refer to a cold, dead church. As a matter of fact, he says, thou have a name that thou livest. And the word livest has the idea, boy, this church is alive. It's really, but it's a name. They have that name, but it's a name only. Today we'd say, hey, go to that church. That's where it's happening, man. See, people a lot of times refer to the carnal and they look to growth and largeness and they say, well, it must be of God. If that's so, we might as well stay home and watch Joel Osteen all the time, okay? that place is full. Or just go to Rome. They even have more than Joel Osteen. You know, so be sensible. Don't let the devil mess you up that way. He does that and he uses things of that nature. But what is interesting, he says, thou hast a few names even in Sardis. I like the way he says that, even in Sardis. Meaning, you know, as it's getting, a name thou livest. That is, hey, you're the in church. But yet, even with that, you have a few names there. Not a lot, but you have a few names, even in Sardis, that have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Lord is saying, although you have this name among the people on earth, that boy, this is the alive, exciting church. God says it's dead. But you see, this is Sardis. And I believe that Sardis, like all the seven churches, I believe that it started well. I believe that there was soul winning and teaching and serving the Lord. I believe that there was established strong standards of holiness and righteousness in the local church. These churches were started by good, godly people that went out as missionaries and started these churches in that day. And as they went out and started the churches, their missionary teams, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, Paul and Barnabas and others, not only them, that went out and started these churches. But you can't rest on the past. You've got to ever seek the will of God and ever seek to move forward in His will. And so that happened in Sardis. Now, on the other hand, there was a Laodicea. They had a name that they were increased with goods and had need of nothing. That was their thing. Oh, yeah, we've got it. Boy, we've got it all together. Yet they didn't realize they needed the spiritual. They're the kind that would have said, speaking to us, smooth things only. Be positive all the time. They had their nice physical buildings. They had a social gospel that was going. But what they had were empty bodily vessels. And the Spirit of God did not move among them. It was the spirit of the flesh. And those are things that God says to avoid in this church age. And that hit every age. Now, you think some of the things I'm saying about contemporary and emerging church, you can go back and read sermons by Spurgeon and other preachers back in the 1800s. I've got a book in my office written in about the 1870s called Night Scenes of the Bible. You read, there's one particular chapter there that if you read it, you would have thought he was talking about today. But you see, the Bible truth is true in every age. And it doesn't need to be changed for the culture. As we said today, we're not trying to be like the culture in order to win the culture. No, we're trying to be like Christ in order to change the culture. And that's what 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. Old things are passed away. You don't try to emulate the old culture. You don't try to emulate the old life. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. See, we're not out to win them. We're out to change them. Okay, now we're in a political season. There's a lot of guys out to win votes. But it's a whole lot better if they can change things. Change it for righteousness and goodness sake. So with that little backdrop there, now let's get into the meat of this text here today. And first of all, see the nasty problem. If you looked at verses 1 and 2 there, and you say, boy, that's our local church, or somebody makes that accusation of our local church, and it's true. Because these are accusations made by the Holy Spirit of God. If he said this is what's going on in Corinth, it's going on. And boy, any church, any individual Christian ought to see that as a slap in the face from the very Spirit of God. And so, here's a church that these men planted. Paul was there for 18 months. He taught, he preached, he worked fervently in that place. And now he stands back and he says, they're carnal. They're carnal. Although it's one of the most gifted churches in the New Testament, it was spiritually a babe in Christ still. And what a shame that is. You know, sometimes we say, well, if the church is not growing spiritually, it's the preacher's fault. If he's not preaching the word, that it does add to it. It really does. But they had Paul. Well, if he knew that what he was doing, he'd choose the right people to put in places. Wasn't there a man named Demas with Paul? Paul must have been away from God. He must have been so backslidden that he called on Demas to help him out. Why do we not want people to take responsibility for their sin? You ever think about that? We want to blame others for the sins of people. You know, you start doing that with your own children, you'll end up excusing so much sin in their lives that it'll be 40 or 50 years old and they'll realize that they've made a mess of their life and you wouldn't say anything about it. And we see the problem because in chapter 4, verse 15, he says, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ. Evidently, there was a teaching gift in Corinth, but what were they teaching? Now understand, every sermon, and this is my goal, every sermon ought to have milk for the newest saint and yet meat for the most mature. Now, that's hard to balance. It really is. But every sermon should be that way, and boy, I covet that you would pray for me that way. We go back to chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You know, people who say, all they preach are salvation sermons. What does that show? It shows they're shallow. They're babes at best. If a salvation sermon, hearing a lot of salvation sermons, upsets you, you have missed out on the power of God because it says the preaching of the cross. You don't have salvation without a cross, you see. And so the preaching of the cross is to we who believe. It is the power. It's strength. Maybe as the false prophets and Satan, people can have a Bible knowledge. I think Satan has a great Bible knowledge. But they lack spiritual understanding of the word as given by the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, they must turn to the flesh in order to exalt themselves in more knowledge, in order that they not be like the others that are so below them. Or this is what we've got to do to win them or to get them. You see, it all goes back to self. Not the spirit of the all-powerful God. You know, it's interesting to me that marketers today in church growth and the Calvinists as well revel in their men of letters and their theories. As I told you a few months ago, I'm I've almost quit calling ourselves fundamentalists. I call us biblicists because now the charismatics call themselves fundamentalists. Mormons call themselves fundamentalists. Islamics call themselves fundamentalists. So we're biblicists, okay? Biblicists. I like that name just a little bit better. But biblicists, if they're true biblicists, will revel in their master teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the truth of his word above the men of letters and their theories. And we'll let ourselves and allow ourselves to be in the word daily and be taught by the teacher's paraclete, that one who stands beside, that is the Holy Spirit of God who dwells in every believer. Don't hinder him, that you may grow in his grace and knowledge. Now, here's where people, though, go out the door, and that's in verses 3 and 4. He says, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not yet carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" This is where people, as I said, go out the door. Some will say, "Well, that's just too negative for me, and I can't stand that. I don't want anything to do it with it." Well, that's all right. They feel that way, but understand, the Holy Spirit doesn't change the word because that's the way they feel today. When you preach the word, you preach it as it is to men as they are. Now, it's up to me to speak the truth in love, but It's not really up to anybody in this auditorium to decide, or anybody listening to me, is he really speaking it in love? Okay, that's when you're judging. That's the kind of judgment the Bible talks about, of judging. You're judging a person's motive. And when you do that, you're automatically wrong, because you're saying, "I'm God and I can say what it is. I know just as much as God does about that person." And then you blaspheme God by getting that attitude, saying, "I can judge their motives." So don't make that mistake. What a terrible thing to do. I wouldn't want anybody to make that mistake. But now, the charges are very grievous that are written here in these verses, because it's not maturity in Christ. These are babes. Envying. Someone gets something that you wanted. That person got to sing the solo on Sunday morning, and I wanted to sing it. Someone gets recognition. They have a position that you desire to have, but they got it. Or they're more talented and they've got more of life's things than you do, and you feel cheated. And so we envy that person, don't like that person. As a result, if anything good happens to them, you're simply not happy. You begin to talk to others. And when you begin to talk to others about other people in the family of God, what happens? Then strife begins to happen. I think I need to readjust that, man. I think I just got it. Okay, strife begins to happen. And with strife, often there is a sower of discord. See, there are people that they know that you might not be liking someone, they'll go and they'll feed to you things negative about that person. They really will. Because they're not in it. You're the one taking the lumps as you guys go at each other. They're standing back and enjoying it. And just like they go to you, "You know what he said about you?" Then it goes back to the other one. "You know what they just said about you?" They're sowers of discord. And the devil has done a tremendous job in being able to place them in local churches across this land. And yet the Bible says the sower of discord is as abominable. And he used that word abomination, the same Hebrew word for the homosexual. Isn't that it's just good to know, if you're going to sow discord, if you're going to be that kind of person, to know what God considers you on the level of. And that's the level where he places you. And so I would really give second thought to those things. People will believe the report, even though they won't have the facts. That's destroyed churches all across America. It's making them ineffective. effectual, and Satan laughs. He laughs because he's using Christians to do his dirty work in the local churches. While America goes to hell on the fast track, people are fighting for their rights. And they don't know if we had our rights, we'd all be in hell. So it leads to division. Now let me say this. Now that's where I'm going to get people, some people probably upset. But so many people are on social media. I know Facebook seems to be the most popular one. I know there are others, but what have you. Someone says something, and it's another person's enemy, but they say, like. Now again, I've never done that, so I don't know what is what on that. But I know I've heard people come around talking about, they like them. They like that. Look, if they like something that's immoral, that's false doctrine, that's evil, that's going the wrong direction spiritually, you still don't have to speak against that person that's going that direction. You don't have to speak against them. You need to speak to them. See, there's a difference. Speak to them. And on the other hand, in speaking to them, somebody is going that direction, don't put a like on it if they're going the wrong direction, because you're just encouraging them to go the wrong direction, okay? So again, let me encourage you on that, just to say that a lot of times we get in social media and somebody likes this one, somebody likes something different, and all of a sudden there's a problem. In the political season, if you don't vote for my choice, we're mad forever. Especially if yours loses. Now, I try to always base who I vote for on how I think they best line up with the Word of God and their decision-making, not how great a Christian they are, because I know not all of them are Christians. But I can tell you this. My prayer is that God would not give us what we deserve, but what we need. What we need is not the one who can give us the best financial structure. It's the one that will do their best to give us the best moral structure in this land. But people get on their social media places, and then all of a sudden, you've got this going on vacation too. And there's comments for it, comments against it. What's wrong with that person? You know where they're going? Somebody says, hey, it's a single person. I'm in a new relationship. Boy, all of it starts all over again. As someone changes a job, they should have stayed at the same job. What's wrong with them? You know? And you get crazy things like that. Now, believe it, those things go on. And it's usually because there's a strife between one and another, and then it spreads. And again, you don't go to the person. There's divisions. Christians taking sides against Christians on non-essential things. We've had people that have left our church over Bible standards, over my preaching. Those were the ones that stayed awake. But those that left because of my preaching, others have left because of the Bible doctrines to which we hold. But, you know, kind of concerns me if somebody leaves because people are running down their children or running down their family and they aren't really even coming to them or trying to help or trying to get things straightened out, or they resurrect something from their past that happened years ago. You know, that kind of reminds you of Luke chapter 10, 18 verses 10 through 14. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now let me ask you something. Obviously, the two were praying aloud when they prayed. You think that the publican, after hearing that prayer, says, boy, I want to go to church where he goes. You see, there's a difference between taking a stand for righteousness and holiness, for sound doctrine. There's a difference between taking that stand and then a stand for, look at me, and I'm so much better than you, and a self-righteous attitude. Oh, God delivers from that. You'll notice at the end of verse 3, he says, and walk as men. And I think that's important, because when he says, and you walk as men, God has a higher expectancy of Christians. If they are maturing in Jesus Christ and they are maturing in His Word, it's above the carnal world of men who bite and devour one another daily. Now, I want you to think about this on social media. Think about this. Hebrews calls it a busybody to enter into other men's matters. Does social media trump the Bible? No. If it's sin verbally, it's sin on social media too. And I know some people have a hard time with that, but that's the truth. Jesus said, go to the person, not everyone else. Again, I'm not on social media, but I kind of think that even if I am, I don't have to make a comment on something everyone says. Gossip, griping, on down the line, a lot of times begins right there. And isn't it interesting that people have time for social media things? Now, I'm told, I don't know this for a fact. Okay, I'm reporting to you, so I'm not saying this is a fact. I'm reporting to you things that I've been told, that there are people that stay on social media 3 and 4 hours a day. I don't know that. I don't know that at all. Maybe they think that because there's so much on their social media. I don't know. But where I would have a problem is the people that are like that, that spend a lot of time on social media, but they have a talent to sing, but they won't sing in the choir because they don't have time. They could work on a bus ministry, but they don't have time. There's other things in the labor of God's house they could do and do things with God, but they don't have time. Now, if you don't have time to serve God, then you don't have time to be on social media. And sometimes you just got to make a choice whether God's first or social media is first. That's the choice that's out there in today that we live in. Now, the method may be different, but that's the same sin that was back in Ezekiel's day. So people gossip and gripe and talk to others, whether verbally or on social media, and they talk about other Christians. It's carnal. It shows that you're immature, that you're a babe, and you walk as men. And herein is the problem. In a day when the emerging church and the contemporary church is destroying families and churches, And churches are under attack, and young preachers are coming out, and now they're changing all the things that were at one time holy and right with the church. All of a sudden, it says Sardis and Laodicea. And in a day of extreme wickedness, we are ill-equipped to fight and stand for the Lord due to our mouth and due to our immaturity. That's a nasty problem. That's a nasty problem. Now, this is addressed also in chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that y'all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. By the way, that's the mind and judgment of Christ. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them who are the house of Chloe. It's always good to identify the people that make the accusation. There are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Now the ones who are saying I of Christ, they're self-righteous. No, I'm right, I'm of Christ. Those men don't mean a thing. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? See, Christ is not divided from Paul or Apollos or Cephas. He's their God, he's our God, but he's not putting them down. They were great men of God, and they did God's work. They were servants of the Lord, not servants against the Lord. Sometimes people will say something again on Facebook or other social media, and they'll come to me, you know what so-and-so said on the Facebook? So-and-so said this, so-and-so said that. And recently I've started telling people, look, don't worry. In 2 weeks, they'll be after somebody else. And that's true. I think social media gives you ADHD. I'm almost convinced of that. Because something that used to last 6 months to a year in a church now lasts about a week because they go from one person to the next. And probably that statement will be on social media somewhere tonight. Don't worry, it'll be gone in another week or two. Central Baptist Church will die regardless of good things of the past if there are the divisions of these kind as envying and strifes among us. And it will show those who are not really spiritual, although they think they are, but rather religiously carnal. Critical spirits who need to get right with God before his judgment starts. Listen, I know I'm not the best pastor. I know I don't do everything exactly right. I remember when I first started pastoring, the first church I had in Cantonment, Florida, one of my great friends, Dr. Roy Julian, was on the same highway about 10 miles down the road. Young preachers like to say, best preacher in town. I wasn't even the best preacher on the street. So I said, I'll take care of that. I come to Ocala. I'm not even the best preacher in the church. You got Dr. Bloom here. Okay, so I just lost out. I gave up on trying to be the best preacher anywhere. All right? You can't. So, I know there are diversities of administration. We may like one administration better than we do another. But unless God makes you the administrator, you need to get on board. Get on board. And that's what people need to do. And so, again, be right with God before his judgment starts. You know, we've had many Central Baptist Church fathers who sacrificed a lot to get us where we are today. Let's not cast it off. Let's not depart from those things. Now, hopefully these things I've said tonight are not going on. I mean, I hope they're not going on. As I said, this is a Bible sermon. But I know that the Lord, when he impresses on your heart things to preach, you better preach it. And maybe he's trying to give us some preventive medicine. I don't know. But we need to do what God would have us to do. So that brings us next to the need. That is the needed performance. And that's seen in verses 5 through 11. And we see right off the bat, again, that the Great Commission of the church, the local church, is the Great Commission of Central Baptist Church. Because that's what the Lord gave us as a local church. Every one of us are supposed to be involved in the Great Commission. Paul said there in verses 5 through 7, he planted. He was the guy that went out there. He's the guy that was leading souls and got the church formed. Praise the Lord for that. And many got saved as a result. Verse 5 shows that Apollos watered. Because, you see, we have to teach him to observe all things that he's commanded us. But what we have to really realize above all is that God gave the increase. God gave the increase. And so as they taught to do what God has commanded us to do, they did God's will, God's way, and in God's time. And people think that's legalistic to do that, but nonetheless, that's what they did, and God blessed it. In chapter 4, verse 15, they all decided we wanted to be teachers and got away from the soul-winning aspects of it. Not one part of the Great Commission should ever be left out. Not one part should be left out. All of it is necessary for the local church. All of it is very important for us as a local church. Now, again, the tragedy of a local church often is going away from the call that God has given you to. And that opens a door for gossip. It opens a door for envy. It opens a door for all of these other things. The Central Baptist Church is God's local church. And I love it, okay? And that's what we've been saying here. I love my church. Well, let's love it because it's God's local church and because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's important. And as His children, we realize that planting and harvest takes work, but it also takes patience. The carnal wants it now. They want much glory for themselves. Brother Lloyd and I were talking this past week and we were looking at the idea of texting that people do today, and now they put the initials in, just initials for words. I remember the first time somebody sent me LOL. When I was in high school, that meant lots of love, and I just didn't like getting that from a guy. I just did not like getting that from a guy, and then somebody had to tell me, no, that means laughing out loud, okay? Well, Brother Lloyd gave me a new one this week, WIIFM. What's in it for me? It's true for churches across this land. And just as Sardis, just as Laodicea, and all those seven churches lost their candle, lost their place, if we don't decide to fight the devil instead of helping him destroy the local church, then this country will feel the final effects of that after God has judged the local church. So you'll notice, you'll receive reward if you stay true, but not till the proper time. As a matter of fact, verse 11 through 15, or 12 through 15 says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Now there's coming a day where the judgment seat will show us what was real and what was not real. Who were the fakes and who were the frauds and who were those that were on fire for the Lord? Every man's work shall be made manifest. The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall reveal every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. You know, there are people who say, as long as I'm saved, that's all I care about. How low can you get? What a lack of character, let alone a lack of love for God, to say, as long as I'm saved, that's all I care about. I don't want to be saved just so as by fire. I don't want to be saved just to say, well, I might be ashamed at his appearing, but that's all right, at least I'm there. Better off than the man in hell. And that may be true, but understand, that is a total, absolute shame. So it comes at the judgment seat of Christ. But when you look at the context of this chapter in verses 1 through 4, there are people who may sound spiritual, but they're carnal, they're divisive, they're gossips, and they're going to lose out. Now, men love accolades now, but that's all they get is what they get now. But when God rewards, it's big and it's forever. And it's so much better to have faith and just trust the reward that's in. Don't try to build your ego. Don't try to build your empire. You just decide, I'm going to build the work of God through the power of the Holy Spirit leading me. We're laborers together. That encompasses the local church. Labors together, verse 9, with God. Now, if he says we're labors together with God, you see how verses 1 through 4 militate against that? See, it militates against being labors together with God because you're at each other's throats. And again, I hope that's not true in this church. I hope that's not true. I'd rather it not be true. I remember my first church, there's a man that's upset with another guy, and he came to me, he's talking about him. He says, I hate to gossip about the guy, but it's fun. He realized, I think, right in the middle of his conversation, what he was saying. But you see, God says we are his husbandry, the seed of his word planted within us, and it's his word that does the work within us, his garden work. We are his building. People make up the local church. This church could burn down, but we still have the people. The people make the local church. Don't rebel against the building material that God has provided. He's provided all. There's different personalities. There's different kind of people. But for the local church, God provides a master builder. Paul calls himself the master builder here, the pastor. Together with you, you build on the foundation, and that foundation is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the living word, and the Bible is the written word. Therefore, his word is the plan for the local church. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, the pastor may be considered the local church. The master builder of the local church. But we labor together to fulfill Matthew 28, 18 through 20 of win them, baptize them, and teach them to observe. We do that together. We try to build up souls in Christ via the word and the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the architect. The Bible has the blueprint. The pastor has responsibility to see that we do what the architect and the blueprint says to do. That's what that's about. Now, there's only one foundation. However, there are false foundations. 2 Corinthians 12 talked about another Jesus. That other Jesus is not holy. The other Jesus begins to look like the world. The other Jesus begins to talk like the world. We've got to be careful. This is a day of apostasy, and we need laborers who will labor together in love with God, people who love God, who will be right with one another, and will be right with God, and faithfully and patiently build. Faithfully and patiently work the work that we might have mature meat eaters of God's word. The bottom line is, get right with God, get right with others if there's a problem going on. That's got to get away from the abomination of divisions and side taking. Be a church that stays true in these last days. Get back to witnessing. Get back to edifying. I've been told of stories where churches have had people leave. It might be 4 or 5 years later. They're still fighting about the people that left. They're still fighting about a preacher that used to be there. Hey, when God has moved, you've got to act within the structure in which God has given you. You've got to build and thank him for the foundation. So there's a nasty problem. Oh, yes, there's a lot of nasty problems out there. We need to perform the Great Commission. But finally, let me make this move along quickly, the non-negotiable precepts and principles of God's Word. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and he says, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, he gave to the church gifts. I've never felt like I'm a gift, okay? And especially to the church. But God says that's what the pastor is. But believe me, I believe that my work is to preach and teach the word, to keep it holy and not allow his standards to be compromised. We're to perfect, that is, equip the people. We're to work, know the labor and set up for labor. We're to edify individually to the unity of the faith. Sound Bible doctrine, not changing with the culture and knowledge of the Holy Son of God, so that we might grow to be Christ-like, allowing the mind to be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, to mature and not be as verses 1 through 4. You know, we have to make a decision sometimes of whose side am I on? If you really think it through, the question comes down to who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? You see, the one thing we need to do, we need to be on Faithbook instead of Facebook more, okay? Make things right with others. Ask God's help tonight for victory, especially if this is a reoccurring sin in your life. Because you can't bring back scattered sheep if you don't. I believe it's in the bulletin today. I'm not sure where. I wrote it here recently. I don't know if it's in today's bulletin, the one for next week I've written, or whatever, or previous week. I just don't know where it is. But again, when I look at this, we think of, all right, sound Bible doctrine, not changing with the culture. This or that. And I believe the illustration I used, and maybe it's, I said, maybe in today's bulletin, I don't remember, but I've had evangelists tell me this, a number of different evangelists, not just one, a number of different evangelists, said they've gone to a church, preached, they knew that the message they preached was what God wanted them to preach. There was no doubt in their mind, God wants me to preach that message. And they said, I got in there and I preached and gave it my all and nothing. And that happened each night, and the evangelist said, boy, I'm trying to think, and I'm confessing, asking God to forgive him and everything else and get things right with God. And so finally, and it's usually a man, and we like to say it's women, but it's usually a man, in the service would stand at the invitation time and say, you know what, I've been wrong. I've been saying things against that person. I've been working against that one. I've been working against this and working against that. I've been doing it stealthily. I've been doing this. And they'll confess it, and they'll confess and ask that person for forgiveness publicly. And then all of a sudden, others start. And God brings a revival. And as the evangelists have said, the people did not realize that they were the ones that were the hindrance to revival. Did not know it. It did not even occur to them. We can get so carnal. We can defend the flesh so hard that we won't realize that we're the problem. And judgment will begin at the house of God because of us. That's not what we want. Oh, I hope that you'll decide tonight, as a Christian, I'm on the Lord's side, and his side is always holy, it's righteous, and it's according to the word of God. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, I pray as we sing, who is on the Lord's side? Lord, I pray that there are things that need to be made right, that be made right now, that be made right in this service. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.